This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
So happy that I have invested in Maybelline New York Fit Me Matte and Poreless Powder. The way I had two coffees today and I'm sweating beads on my forehead, my upper lip, and my lower chin. Excuse me. And then adding three studio lights into the mix. Oh. And then adding a video podcast into the mix. Oh, it's over. Every 10 minutes, I have been patting my face with Maybelline New York Fit Me Matte and Poreless Powder. It's like getting to the point where I've had to stop recording like 2 minutes into recording the episode and start again because I was like, baby, this is not going to happen, you know? But anyway, welcome back to Self Interrupted with Kit Costello. I'm Kit Costello. It's episode 3 of season 3. The threes are in full force today. Thank you so much for coming back. Today, we're talking about how to stop being a people pleaser. Truly. I was recommended this topic by one of the Self Interrupters. Thank you so much for recommending. And at first I read it and I was like, oh, this is not me. This is not my tea. Did a little bit of research. Yeah, I'm a people pleaser. Oh, okay. And we're going to be talking about that later on in the episode. But first of all, I want to get into the catch up of the week because I do have things to catch you up on. And it's actually like a little bit serious. It's not. But we need to talk about it. Okay. Thank you so much. First of all, major updates in the KCCU, the Kit Costello Cinematic Universe, that is. I attempted to cancel my gym membership last night. Yeah, the rumors are true. I haven't been to the gym in a couple of months at this point, and you know, rightfully so. The trenches is actually what the gym is for me at the moment, because so many of my ex love interests go to the gym from my old school. The pressure of looking good, thinking that one of them are going to walk in. Oh no, babe, you can keep it. I don't want to go to the gym anymore. Also, they upped the price by £10. £53 a month to go to the gym? No! No! There's a recession! What the hell are we doing? Why have you upped the price? For what? Baby, there's no new equipment. There's not a pool. Is there an infinity pool on the top roof that I don't know about? Baby, £53 a month to run a couple of 5Ks bi-weekly? No. I have to draw the line. So I went to unsubscribe or cancel my gym membership last night, which by the way, as I'm recording this on the 18th, it rolled over for another month because I couldn't cancel it. Little did I know, it's a contract and I have to give 30 days notice. For a gym membership, girl. Oh, I was fuming. Because in my head, I was like, okay, fierce. I've left it to the last minute. I'm going to cancel the gym membership and it's going to be done. Bish, bash, bosh. Well, no. Actually, read the terms and conditions, the small print, and it was like, oh yeah, no, you think you're fierce? You have to give us another £53. Thank you very much. So that came out of my account today. Great. Love it. And in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm going to use the gym every single day this month so I get my money's worth. I know that I'm not. I used to go to the classes at this gym. They're all booked up and it's starting to piss me off. That's the reason I also left. I used to go to Pilates every week, twice a week. Oh, girl, let me tell you my old gym schedule. I used to go to Pilates twice a week. I used to do a 45-minute HIIT session once a week. And then I used to do running. And then the gym became insanely popular. The girls my age started going to Pilates, which is fine, blessed be. But before it was me and the 50-year-old middle-aged women, and I was living. Those are my sisters, biologically, and we already know this. But I haven't been able to see my girls in ages. And I saw one the other day, not the other day, maybe like a couple of months ago on the treadmill. She was like, oh my God, Kit, where have you been? And I said, baby, I've been working. I had not had a job in about 2 or 3 months, but I just wanted to seem like I was doing something with my life and not just sitting home, not wanting to come to the gym because my old love interests are there. Okay, let's move on to another topic because I don't want to talk about that anymore, to be quite blunt. Coffee. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talk about it amongst yourselves. I have become that person. Don't talk to me if I haven't had my coffee. That's me now. I've started becoming slightly, I wouldn't say addicted to coffee, but it's something that I do romanticize, I suppose you could say. Like, I wake up in the morning and I think the milk frother's there, the Nespresso coffee machine's there. Baby, let's get it cooking. What are we doing? Get the coffee out, girl. Now, mind you, I only started having caffeine in a coffee form, that is, maybe a few months ago. I've grown up with decaf in my house my whole life, decaf coffee and decaf tea. By the way, if you say that you can taste the difference, baby, stop lying to yourself. Lying through your damn teeth. Oh, I can taste the difference. No, you can't. No, you can't, babe. Stop lying. So no, I've started having a coffee every single day, but now it's become a habit to the point where I have like two strong coffees before 12. It needs to be stopped because here I am shaking, sweating. I went to buy some Nespresso coffee pods the other day because I thought I was so fierce. I was like, yeah, I'm going to use my own money. I'm going to get these coffee pods for my mum's machine. They only had the strongest kind called an Americano. And on the scale, it was like the top caffeine strength. And I'm having like two of those a day. God, I'm not doing anything within the day to make me fierce enough to drink two Americanos. I only have it because there's a couple of teaspoons of sugar in it. But yeah, coffee has kind of been like the moment for me, and it is fun, it is camp, but I do need to cut it back. Speaking about cutting things back, last episode I did talk about a fizzy drink ban in the SICU, the Self-Interrupted Cinematic Universe. That ban has now been lifted. Kittenators, you are free to drink fizzy drinks whenever you please. Now, the ban was lifted when I was editing the episode. Yeah. Yeah. I was having a little sip of ginger beer while editing last week's episode. Did I feel like a hypocrite? Maybe. But I was enjoying it. It was M&S ginger beer. I was living, girl. But to be fair, when I've been in the shops, I've said to myself, no, I don't want to buy a fizzy drink because they're so expensive. Oh my God. Why is everything so expensive nowadays? What are we doing? Almond milk does not need to be £2.75. I'm sorry, I will die on this hill. Almond milk, £2.75, baby, you can keep it. Alpro, I will see you in hell. Actually, Alpro, blessed be. And I am always going to invest in an almond milk, no sugar. But what the hell are we doing? £2.75? And Tesco, you can get to hell as well. Miss Club Card price. Baby, that was the price last week and now you just upped it saying it's the club part. What are we doing? Stop making me pay so much money for something that doesn't cost that. Sorry, I just had to rant for a second. So we've talked about canceling the gym membership, coffee, fizzy drink ban lifted. Oh, let's talk about the London meetings. Oh, okay. See, now this is where it gets serious, you guys. I went to London. I didn't know if I was going to talk about this, to be honest, because it's actually kind of embarrassing, but I think it's also kind of funny. I went to London to do a couple of walk-ins, model walk-ins, that is, to go into agencies. You walk in without notice, and then you see if that agency wants to sign you. I went to two agencies, neither wanted to sign me, and that's okay. That's okay, because reminder, I got declined by 20 agencies when I first started modeling. So two, baby, it's okay by me. But it was mortifying. I hated it. I hated it fiercely. Getting declined on the spot in front of everyone. Oh my God. God, I thought I was so fierce. I went in there thinking I was the one and I came out with my tail between my damn legs. Yeah, I did. So I went up to London. I went to a certain modeling agency and it needs to be studied how intimidating a modeling agency is because it's all open plan, by the way. And that would be mid to late people in their 20s sitting behind a long desk on the brand new version of an iMac, all looking at you as you walk into a room, and you're just like, right, so I'm literally chopped liver. Why am I even here? I feel like you should slap me in the face because I'm so disgusting and ugly. And the fact that I even think that I could step foot into your agency is kind of disgusting in and of itself. None of them smile at me. And that's okay because they're clocked in at their 9 to 5. They shouldn't have to smile at me. But a little, you know, a little acknowledgement of my existence would be nice. Anyway, I walk in and the awkward thing is as well, you have to kind of say like, I'm here for a walk-in, and it's deadly silent. Oh my God, I hate it. You walk in and you're like, oh, I'm here for a walk-in. They're like, okay, sit on that sofa. You're like, okay. So you go and you do a little, you sit down, you fill out your form. And then the lady came up to me and the only way I can describe her is a really sweet secondary school teacher that knows you have anxiety. So at lunchtime, she sits you down and kind of describes what anxiety is to you. She was like, hi. What's your name? Aww. Almost condescending. I took my little Polaroids and she walked off and I sat back down, mind you, sweating. Actually, sweating because I'm wearing a full brown fur coat and I've been running. So I take it off and I'm like, not dripping in sweat, but I feel clammy, you know? I'm trying not to let it be seen, but I feel clammy. And I see her going over to her like colleagues and kind of showing my picture. It's so brutal. It's so Olivia Rodrigo track one of Sour 2021 release. It's brutal out here. No, it actually is. Because there I was sitting on this sofa next to a couple other models that were here for a walk-in and she's going around the table showing my photo and they're like, mm-mm, no, she's not the one. She comes back over with a pink slip and I'm like, oh yeah, bitch, I'm about to fill this in. I'm going to be part of this agency. And she says, well, and I'm like, oh my God, it's happening. First agency I go to and they want me. Like, this is so good. Like, oh my God, like, wow, what an improvement. You're not for us. And then this is where it gets bad. So she's trying to let me down easy, bless her heart, like very, very sweet. But she keeps stumbling over her words. So she goes, you're not good for our agency. Not in the sense that you're not good. Well, you're not good enough for us, but not that you're not good enough for us, but you're good enough and you could be a model if you wanted to be a model, but you're not good enough for our agency and you should probably leave. But like, not leave. I mean, it's not that we don't like you. We like you, but we do. Here's some more agencies that might want you. They probably would want you because they are a good agency. And I was like, girl, just slap me in the face and call me ugly and I walk out. Like, it's fine. It's grand. Bless her heart. She was just trying to be sweet. And I appreciate that because the modeling industry can be ruthless, much like the next meeting I went to. So once I had left this meeting, I was like, okay, fierce, on to the next. Because I knew going into this model meeting day that I was not going to get the first meeting that I went to. I knew it. In my bones, I was like, okay, I'm going to get declined some, but it's good to just get your face out there. Being declined is fine. I just want to normalize that for a second. In the modeling industry, it's okay to be declined. Just move on, okay? It's fine. I go to the next model meeting and I arrive. I'm in their offices and the girl behind the desk is like, why are you here? I was like, oh Christ, it's one of those days. I was like, oh, I'm here for a walk-in. She's like, okay, sit down, call someone. I'm like, Christ, okay, damn, whatever happened to like being cordial? She calls someone and she's like, someone will be here in a second. I was like, okay, cool, thanks. 15 minutes later, again, I'm not paying these people, so I don't expect them to come within like, you know, the flash of a light. However, 5 or 10 minutes, babe, I'm fine with 15 minutes. So she comes over, literally, obviously looking me up and down because it's a modeling agency. She's like, hi, with a limp wrist out to shake my hand. And I was like clammy and I was embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, my hands are clammy. So I wiped my hands on my cheek. Oh yeah, no, I would have kicked me out then. Wipe my hands on my jeans, shake her hand. She's like, hi, what's your name? I was like, oh, it's Kit. She's like, okay, go stand over there. We'll measure you. And it's at that point where I'm like, okay, well, you obviously don't want to sign me and it's fine. Kick me out. I don't mind. Sometimes modeling agencies can be so ruthless in like a roundabout way. It's like, we're gonna just like drag you along, make you know that we don't want to sign you, and then we'll kick you out right at the last hurdle. She was like, have you modeled before? And I was like, yeah, no, I have. Showed her my portfolio and she was like, oh, okay, cool. Barely looks at the photos. I was like, okay, great. She shows the photos to her colleagues and she's like, yeah, no, we don't think that you're gonna suit here. Do you want a letter with like all other agencies on it? And I was like, no, I'm fine. I'll just leave. And she was like, oh, okay. I think she had the impression that I was only going to sign with her, but that wasn't the tea, like at all. I just wanted to go home because I was feeling mortified. I don't know. It's not like embarrassing because you go into it knowing that you could be declined, but it is kind of embarrassing because you're in front of all these hot people your age, knowing that you've just been declined by somewhere that they work. You're like, ugh, I don't like that at all. Anyway, I left and then I went to Pret. And Pret actually saved my life. It was so fierce. I went in there, I did get a full fat Coke. Well, the drink ban has been lifted. It has, because I got a full fat Coke and a salad. Oh, yes. Yes, talk about it amongst yourselves. God, I was sitting down there and I was living my damn tootin' life. Moving on to something that I shouldn't be buying that's so expensive is chocolate. I don't know what's going on with me, you guys, but I've been really craving dairy recently. Mind you, I'm intolerant to dairy, so I don't know what the hell's going on with my body. I think at the moment, I just want to be shamed. I just want to be shamed, not going to the gym, then going to model walk-ins knowing that I could be declined, then eating dairy. What's wrong with me? I just want my body to be like, no, negative, move on. Like, but I basically was in Tesco and I saw they had chocolate mini eggs. And I was like, oh my God. I haven't had a chocolate mini egg in like 6 years. So I got a packet of chocolate mini eggs and I ate them. I was like, okay, fierce. I don't want to violently throw up. I'm winning. 10 minutes later, my stomach is bloated. Oh, I was like, oh God. But to be fair, it wasn't terrible. So like, if and when I please, I feel like I could have a mini egg here and there. Yeah. Mind you, I haven't had Cadbury's, is it Cadbury's dairy milk, in literally like 6 years. It's kind of a monumental moment in the KCCU that I had a mini egg. Before I go, something that I have been loving recently is broccoli. You guys know about roasted broccoli? I love how I come on here and I act as if no one's heard of anything that goes on in their day-to-day lives. I'm like, have you guys heard of coffee? Have you guys heard of roasting vegetables? Have you guys heard the good news? As if it's like a gospel. I'm like, work. No, but I live, oh my God, and Linda McCartney. Let's talk about Linda McCartney. Talk about leaving a legacy behind. Miss Meat-Free Quarter Pounder Mozzarella Burgers. Oh, she deserves that praise that she gets. They're the best non-meat burgers I've ever had in my life. In the frozen section, they have mozzarella in them. Again, I'm really flirting with the idea of dairy at the moment. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. They're fierce. Anyway, okay. That is the catch-up of the week. I hope you enjoyed. Quite a fun one, I think. But let's get on to the topic at hand, which is... what is it? I forget why I titled it. Stop being a people pleaser. How to stop being a people pleaser. This topic actually got requested by one of the kittenators or self-interrupters at home. So thank you so much for requesting this topic. At first when I saw it, I said, no, not going to do it because I'm not a people pleaser. That's not me. And I couldn't talk for an hour about being a people. I looked up the definition and it's someone that puts others' needs before their own. And I said, oh yeah, no, that's me. Actually, no, that is me. And I apologize for ever discrediting you, viewer at home, because no, I am a people pleaser. And I also watched a video before, you know, doing this topic, and I want to do more research coming into these episodes, because even if I came in thinking that I wasn't a people pleaser, I now know that I am one since watching this video and doing research. So I watched this video and they were like giving me all of these ideas of what a people pleaser is, and I said, oh damn, hold on a minute, that's me coded. Like I said, the definition of a people pleaser is someone that puts others' needs before their own. Oh, why have I put I before E? Oh my God. Sorry. In brackets here, I said I before E. And I was like, why the hell have I put I before E after this? Basically, this is so rote. I don't know why I even put this in. I might not even put this in the episode. As a child, I was always taught the phrase when spelling anything in like the zeitgeist of words, it was I before E except after C. What the hell happened to that? Because here I am spelling there, T-H-E-I-R. Maybe the I is after the E. So what now? And then I looked up I before E except after C on Google, and they were giving all of these exceptions. And I was like, whoa, calm down. Why are we saying a phrase to children, no less, if it just isn't true? I before E except after C, but only for a few words. What the hell is the point of that? And then like, oh, believe I before E except after C. Yeah, but then you have other words that don't. Also, did I tell you guys this? When I was younger, in like year three, so I would have been like 7 or 8 years old, I remember being told by my teacher that the word than does not exist. That's T-H-A-N. And I only found out when I was in like year 10 that the word exists. I'm not even joking. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but I fully thought it was always T-H-E-N, then. So I'd be like, I'm better than you. Sorry, this is so niche. I don't even know why I'm saying this. Basically, I'm valuing other people's opinions over my own. That was a great segue, because that's the first point to being a people pleaser. Are you valuing other people's opinions over your own? And this is one of the first things that I saw in this video where I thought, oh yeah, no, I am a people pleaser, because I'm the first person to rely on someone else to tell me if something of mine is good or not, especially with like my own personal projects, because I do like a second opinion, but I feel like there is having a second opinion and relying on the second opinion so much that it's the only one that you listen to. Because sometimes I know you, I know me, the stuff that we do is fierce, right? But I feel as though I always need a second opinion to hold on to have a crutch on, because I don't trust myself enough. And also I feel like what comes under this umbrella is I always want to impress people. And I feel like if it's not impressing people, then what's the point in doing it? And that's not good. You shouldn't just be doing things to impress other people or even just yourself, because I think sometimes there's stuff that you do that's average, and that's okay. And sometimes you need to do those things to allow yourself to be impressed and impress other people when you do something else. Not everything you do can be the best thing ever, and that's okay. If you're constantly asking people for validation, say it is like a project, a personal project, say it's, you know, a podcast, for example. If you're constantly asking someone, you know, is this cover good? Is this theme song good? Is this topic good? Is it your podcast or is it theirs, babe? Because it comes a point where you do need to draw a line. It's always nice to have a second opinion, but consistently needing it. And what I like to do sometimes, I mean, I go to one of two ways. I either ask so fiercely for someone else's opinion, or I don't ask for it at all. I do it all by myself and I want it to be a surprise. I sometimes take stuff so seriously because I want to impress people. So for example, like a photo shoot, I sometimes do not show anyone anything of a photo shoot, of a podcast episode, you know, art in any way, because I want them to be shocked. I want to give them a shock factor and I want them to be like, oh my God, Kit, this is everything. And sometimes that is what happens. But sometimes, baby, it's not. Sometimes people are like, oh, this is cool. And they move on with their lives. And I was actually talking, I kind of touched on this last episode when I was talking about romantic validation. And that can be, you know, from someone that you find you have some sort of romance with, whether that's someone that you're just talking to or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a partner. I feel like sometimes we rely on validation aesthetically from other people so much that we forget that we have a valid opinion of ourselves. And I was talking last episode about how we have this pie chart and there's 80% of validation that should come from yourself, but about 20% of validation that should come from other people, or like that you want to come from other people. And I believe in that, but I feel like sometimes that is a swinging pendulum that I don't always get right. That 80% that should come from myself, it's never 80% actually, and I will talk about it. A lot of the time, it's not 80%. It's always, I feel like I'm always chasing validation about some kind of aspect in my life from someone else. Whether it's romantic, it's from someone that I find hot. I want them to find me hot. Whether it's something to do with my work, I want people around me to think it's the coolest thing ever. Whether it's an Instagram post, I want my followers to think it's cool. And then it also trickles down into the way that social media has kind of warped our brains. It's warped our brains in a sense where if your followers aren't liking your photo, you're not cool. If people aren't commenting, girl, they hate you. What are you doing? If you don't have followers, you're flop. Actually. And I think that's actually a really interesting connection because we've kind of been taught to feel this way as a generation because we've grown up with social media. I do think that it's sad that we've grown up as a generation relying on people we don't know. If you're asking for validation from people, you know, your friends, your family, that's kind of different. But if you're asking for validation from people on social media, God, 9 times out of 10, they do not care. A lot of time people just say stuff to say it, allowing your opinion to be valid or as valid as someone else's is super important because then that kind of just values you more as a person and it makes you an even playing field with that other person. If you start valuing this other person's opinion over yours, that's when you do start to tread into the waters of being a people pleaser because you want to please that person. And I've been there. There's a couple of people in my life that I just want to impress consistently and they're friends that I don't really talk to anymore, but I just want them to, you know, I want a picture of myself to come up on social media and then to think, oh my God, Kit's doing incredible. Oh my God. And you know, it's shallow, but I think it's true. And there's people that I've had situationships with my past where, you know, sometimes I'm hoping they're looking at my Instagram thinking, oh my God, I missed out on something. And I know that it's so mature, but I think it's true, you know? And that's just how I feel. And this year, I don't want to be thinking that way. I want to be posting stuff on Instagram. I want to be doing stuff in my life, not equating them into it. And that's why I think really allowing your opinion to be at the forefront of the conversation in your own head is truly important. Be unapologetic. If someone doesn't like what you're doing, to a certain extent, of course, but say it's, you know, a personal project that you're really proud of, but then someone says, oh, I don't know, it's a bit too out there, you need to play it safer. Be unapologetic. Go out this year and do something that might cause people to be a bit polarized by it. I think sometimes that is needed to kind of allow yourself to grow. If you're consistently like, especially if you're relying on the people that you're always relying on, you're not growing out of those people. And I'm not saying that you need to like bin them and get new friends for other validation and other opinions. If you're confining yourself into people that only have like a certain opinion and that's not changing, you're only going to stay into that opinion. Allowing yourself to really evolve and grow is so important. And I do believe that this year it's something that we've got to do. Something else that I really want to do this year is say no more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And not only just saying no more, be confident. I am not the best. I am not the best at saying no. I'm really bad at saying no. To people that I don't know at all, I'll be like, oh yeah, no. But to people that I kind of know, we have mutual friends, I find it so hard. Hey, do you want to come to my birthday? No, sorry. Oh my God, no, I can't. It's my brother's birthday. Always my brother's birthday. Thank God I have three brothers. It's somewhat believable. I cannot say no for the life of me. And God forbid they change the date. Oh my God, you can't make it. Oh, that's fine. We'll just do next week. What do you say then? What do you say? Oh, it's my other brother's birthday, actually. I'm so sorry. Can't come. I just want to be strong in my stance and be like, no, actually, I don't think it's for me. I'd love to see you another time that we can get coffee. I think that's nice. But I do kind of project onto other people. I think, oh, they're going to hate me if I say no. And I don't think they would, because if I ask someone to hang out, hey, do you want to get coffee? No, I don't want to get it this day. Can we do it another one? Because when I say no to someone, it's not because I do not like them, because someone I don't like is not asking me out for coffee. Do you know what I mean? If one of my friends is like, hey, do you want to grab a drink or get dinner? I do feel really obliged to just like make up some dumb excuse. I think it's actually kinder and more respectful to just say to your friend, hey, I do not want to go out. So if you're one of my friends listening, someone that knows me in real life, and I ask you to go out, just be like, no, Kit, I don't want to go out today. Can we do next week? And I'll be fine with it. This is my honor. This is my contract to you through the podcast. You know, there are, you know, toxic people that will not take no for an answer. Or if you do say no to them, they'll hold a grudge. But those people do not deserve to be in your corner, in your life. I actually have a story. Oh God, no, I do. Of course I have a story. I have a little story to tell you guys about me saying no to someone and them not really reciprocating that. There was this guy that I have talked about on the podcast before. Let's call him Max, because I've called him Max in other episodes. This is the guy that I had the situationship with during sick form. We used to go to the gym together. Now, we'd go to the gym every single week, and his kind of personality type was that he was a little bit, I wouldn't say bossy, he just liked to be like in control. And a little bit like dominant. Like if you went against his word, he'd be like, no, you won't. You won't go against my word because you want to be with me all the time. He thought I was truly obsessed with him, and he was right. But sometimes I wanted to be by myself at home and I didn't want to be in the gym. This was one of those situations and I put my foot down. It was the end of the day. We were walking out of school. He was with his girlfriend. That's tough. But he looked back at me and he was like, I'll see you at the gym. And I said, oh no, I don't want to go today. And he looked back and he said, no, I'll see you at the gym. I know you're going to be at the gym because you're obsessed with me. And I was like, God, I'm not going to the gym. And he thought I was playing a game with him. And I said, I don't want to come to the gym. I'm not going. And he said, I'll see you there at 4:30. And I said, baby, I'm not, what? Baby, Megan Trainor 2017 multi-platinum hit. No, I'm not going to the gym. It's not going to happen. And he says, oh no, I'll see you there. So cut to 4:30. I'm not at the gym. He gets annoyed. This man comes in the next day and doesn't talk to me. Childish. I remember he was like ignoring me all day. And I said, why are you ignoring me? He said, you didn't come to the gym. And I said, well, baby, I told you I wasn't coming to the gym multiple times, actually. And he said, well, you said no. And I just don't find that really, I think that's kind of rude. It's people like that that need to be out of your life. If you can't respect my boundaries, and that's serious as well, you know, because this wouldn't have only just happened in this situation. What if it was a situation that was more serious? Somewhere where I didn't want to be. And I've been in that situation as well, where a couple of my old friends wanted to go out clubbing and I didn't feel comfortable. I said no, and they didn't take that lightly. They thought it was a hit on them, a dig on them. It's not. I want to get that point across to people listening as well. If someone says no to you, a lot of the time it isn't to do with you. I don't mean to read people, but I think also, you know, it's to do with me as well. I think we are a little bit self-absorbed. We can sometimes be like, oh, if they're saying no, they don't want to hang out with me. It's to do with me. Baby, it's probably not. They have stuff going on in their own life, and maybe they literally do not want to see anyone that day. If a friend cannot see through that or see past that, you've got to think, wow, what if the situation was slightly worse? What if we were out in London, it was late, I wanted to go home, and I said no to going clubbing, and then they got really mad at me and left me in London? What then? You know, you've got to just like analyze the people in your life and just think, am I going to this thing because I want to be there? Or am I going to this thing because I know that they'd be mad at me if I wasn't there? This leads me on to my last point, which is to cut those people out. You need to cut them out. I'm kind of sick of tiptoeing around the cutting the people out stage of these episodes. Remember I was talking about in an old episode of Self-Interruption, and I was like, you know, cut the people, you know, only if it feels right. Go cut them out. I'm sick and tired. 2024 is not about toxic friends. You've had enough chances, actually. I know that you've probably given that person in your life a few chances. Cut them out. The grass is so much greener. You need to smell the coffee and get out of there, because truly, when you have toxic people around you, it blinds you. It blinds your vision. It blinds the self-validation that you have for yourself, because you're like, all these people around me think I'm worthless for not wanting to go out with them. I guess I kind of am. and I need to say yes to everything. Being a people pleaser, in some way, it is nice because you do want to just do your best for everyone else around you, but also you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot because you're going to be treated as you are presenting. You know, if someone's constantly thinking that, oh, you're just going to do that, you're going to do that, you will become that person and you're not breaking that cycle. You need to break the cycle to be able to move forward. I think a lot of people fall victim to being a people pleaser. It's just important to learn the ways to respect yourself as much as you are respecting other people. Because once you start putting other people's opinions in front of you, it doesn't just stop at one or two things. For example, you know, putting people's opinions over yours when it comes to a personal project or whether you should go out on that coffee date, it can then start to bleed into the way you see yourself. You know, my friend likes when I do this makeup, I'm only going to do this makeup now, this hairstyle, these clothes. It doesn't just stop at one thing, it would only grow and multiply. So it's really important to get reins on it now rather than allowing it to just expand to your whole life. Because then I really think that you can fall into a well of a lack of respect and a lack of opinion of yourself, and you don't know who you are anymore. And that's the worst thing, especially with social media, like I touched on earlier. You kind of learn what people like about yourself if you are on social media, you know, like I am, TikTok, Instagram, etc. You learn, oh, people like this about me. They like it when I wear this kind of outfit, when I talk about this. So you mold yourself into that. And that is not how you should be viewing your life. And it's something that I need constant reminding of, because it's how you can, you know, you can easily fall into that trap and you just lose touch of who you are. I do think that, you know, this past year, I have kind of fallen victim to that, because sometimes I haven't wanted to go out because I just don't feel like I'm in a way that I want to present myself. And sometimes, especially when you're with your friends, you shouldn't feel that way. It can stunt your growth. If you care that much, you don't want to go out to parties because you don't feel like you look good, or you don't feel like you have anything interesting to talk about. Or if you do have stuff to talk about, you're kind of agreeing with what people say to please them. And that's another thing. And that can be really awkward. You know, if you're at a dinner party, or, you know, at a family dinner party, especially, you know, around Christmas time, and they're saying stuff that you just don't agree with, but sometimes you don't want to say anything because you don't want to upset the people around you and your family. And that's really tough. That's a really sticky situation to be in. I have recently had a couple of experiences where I have spoken up and I have spoken out, and I'd do it again, quite frankly. I'm still learning how to not be a people pleaser. I'm still learning to not crave validation from my parents, from my friends, from the people around me, from people I haven't talked to in like, what, 5 years. I'm still craving that validation. Do I want it? Yeah. Should I? Probably not. But, you know, we're learning. And that's something that you also need to learn, is to not be so hard on yourself. Because if you are going to seek this validation and this respect from in, you need to allow time. You can't be like, okay, tomorrow is the day where I'm not going to care about anyone else's opinion. You should care about other people's opinions, but not over your own, you know? And I think that is really what this episode is in a nutshell. I want you guys to leave here valuing yourself, valuing your opinion, because you do matter, and so does your opinion. Whether that is in conversation, whether that is about the clothes you wear, you know, what you post on social media, it can be frivolous, but then it can also be really important, because it can follow you throughout your adolescence into your older years from a child. But those are my thoughts on being a people pleaser, and somewhat how to overcome being a people pleaser. What have we learned today? We have learned to value your own opinion over others, but also respect other people's opinions, but just allow yourself to be the conclusion in that storyline. Allow yourself to have that final say, because at the end of the day, it's you. We've also learned that saying no is good. Being able to say no with the people around you is good. And if they can't take it, it's probably a sign that they're not the best friend that you've ever had. And we've also learned that we do need to cut toxic people out of our lives sometimes. 2024 is about growing, expanding, evolving. And if you have those toxic people around you, it's very hard to do so. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Self Interrupted. Before I go, I do have the recommendation of the week, which is Twitter. Yeah, had you gagged a bit. You thought I was going to say a song, but I said Twitter, because Twitter is serving. Twitter is actually making me wake up in the morning and giggle a bit. My God, the memes on Twitter are running raucous at the moment. Stan Twitter, you guys know about Stan Twitter? It's crazy. The Nicki Minaj fans against the Ariana fans, against the Megan fans, against everyone. It's just chaos, and I do love it. I love having my little daily scroll, seeing what's going on with the royal family and Kate Middleton, because those theories are running deep. I'm eating up every crumb. I truly am. Blessed be. I hope everyone's okay in that situation, though. Yeah, Twitter is the recommendation of the week. But other than that, I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Self-Interrupted. As a reminder, this series, I have a goal of reaching 250 star reviews on Spotify. So if you already haven't reviewed the podcast, please go ahead and do so. It'd really mean a lot to me. We just hit 80, which is very cool. You can watch the video episodes over on YouTube at Self-Interrupted. You can follow the podcast, Instagram, and TikTok at Self-Interrupted Pod. You can follow me personally at Kit.Costello on Instagram and on TikTok. But other than that, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it, truly. I'm sending you so much love, as always, Kit.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.